dance.
Why not, John? I'll die on this hill.
Why not? I want the audience. I want everybody that is here to know that John Doyle said, "I am not going to dance." Interesting, John. There's something called going against the grain or going against the flow. And there's something just called downright not vibing. It's called disrespect with a K.
No, I won't give in to peer pressure. I will not comply. I will not be compelled to dance if I don't feel in a dancing mood. I mean, how could I go from watching a video of a gender curious man performing provocative dancing and then decide like I want to dance? This is just not conducive to that, in my opinion.
Well, if you can be sexually ambiguous and show your crotch, perhaps tucked a penis in between two children, imagine that level of performance is okay. It's acceptable in our society. What else could be acceptable in a room like this, where it's an adult show for adults only? And I mean, if you want to do it, John, I'm going to say this. For all I know, you already got the tuck down. I don't care. No judgments.
Well, that's what's funny is that we watched that video, and instead of jumping in and criticizing that, your first thing that you were indignant about was, John, you're not dancing. What's going on, big guy? And I think that says a lot about your character, actually.
You know what it says? You know what it says? I thought this was normal. I thought this was a normal part of society. I'm so used to it. I actually am confused. When I go to a high school and I see a high school that didn't have drag queens, doesn't have groomers, isn't full of pedophiles, I got to ask myself this. Is it even an American school? But then, of course, you know, someone will walk in, kill a bunch of children, literally blow them up. And I'm reminded, as it just recently happened, you know what? It's not just drag queens and sexually exploiting children that define the American youth and our public education, but it's also the endangerment, the killing of the kids. Also, on the side note of, there was a plan to protect children in schools and keep schools, but they couldn't find the funding. I don't know if you remember that. They couldn't find funding for it. We did, however, forget to open up box number two, where there was $40 billion hiding, which we did send to Ukraine, our buddy Zelensky. So we're protecting the Ukrainians. We can't protect our own children. We do have a pretty damn big problem in our schools today, I have to say.
Yeah, I was having a conversation on the way over here with my dad, and we were talking about how things have degenerated in public schools. Like, the biggest scandal when I was in school, and I think that my generation probably caught a little bit of this, but all the generations succeeding, I mean, it's just so much worse. The biggest scandal when I was in school, it was in the eighth grade, when a girl sent a video of herself masturbating to a boy. And the video didn't get out, but word that it happened got out. And it was a huge thing. Everyone was talking about it. And then 2 years later, I'm in high school and I've still got friends that are in the middle school. And they're telling me that now it's commonplace for kids to sneak out of class, meet each other under the stairwell. They're doing drugs. They're all vaping. And then they're like doing everything up until actual sex. And this is just normal. It's not even a scandal. And I'm thinking about it like, yeah, the younger generations don't have a scandal like I did, or my sister, who's a millennial. You know, if he even sent a general nude photograph, that was a scandal. Now the only scandal that happens at a school is like it gets shot up. That's how messed up everything is, to where the only thing that can still happen where kids go, oh, that's wrong, is like a literal gunman coming in and killing their classmates. And even then, you know, there's the outrage, rightfully so. But those same kids will still laugh at it and make memes about it, because our generation, my generation and the younger generations, are so like calloused and nihilistic about the world. They're so cynical that everything is just a joke. Everything is ironic. Everything's a joke. And so they'll take something like that and they'll make jokes about it. Whereas every other like older person is like, this is horrible. You know, 9/11, that was horrible. My generation made popular, maybe even a little bit of your generation, like joking about 9/11. And I still see memes like that and I can't help but laugh. And I don't know why. I've just been conditioned into thinking that like terrible things are funny just because they're so commonplace now. Like, my generation literally doesn't have the capability of like recognizing a tragedy as a tragedy. There's always this hint of like, oh, let's make memes about it. Let's make jokes about it. And I think that's really indicative of how sick as a society we are.
Well, yeah, when you're 6 years old and your friend is showing you a ISIS beheading in a South Philippine island, like in Dumaguete, right before you go to dinner on Live Leaks, and then you sit at dinner and, you know, you just saw a beheading, a real beheading. Or when you go on the slightly offensive Telegram chat and the people come in and have people blowing people's heads off, and we've banned them, by the way, we've gotten control of the Telegram chat. It does desensitize you, but it's also, the truth is like the real state of the world really is sad. The fact that like somebody goes in, they kill a bunch of kids. If you're not aware of this, in Uvalde, it's about 5.5 hours south of where we are right here in Texas, near a border town. It's like kids are murdered. And the discussion immediately comes about the sexuality and race and gender of the shooter. Like we, it's like a video game or like a movie where it's like, oh, there's another Star Wars coming out. I wonder if what Darth Vader, if he's actually going to fully be in his costume or where Anakin's at in his transformation. We look at the shooters like they're characters in some sort of like a larger play or performance. And it's like crazy because like there are parents that are just sitting here that they if you put it into perspective, you know, there are dryers that are full of their children's clothes that they'll never wear again, right? I mean, there are books that are open, you know, in their room that they were planning to read. They were on their way to school, probably talking about whatever young people talk about today, Fortnite or whatever. And then now they're dead, and their bodies were mutilated. They were shot. I talked to George Ventura, a reporter for Daily Caller, who said he interviewed an 11-year-old boy who watched his teacher get killed and then saw his friend get shot right in front of him. You're an 11-year-old, right? And you're going to school, an elementary school, fourth grader, I believe that is, and you watch someone get shot in front of you and your teacher. And this is like, and now we're arguing about whether the shooter was transsexual, which has been debunked. And I do want to talk about this insanity that's going on in the world. On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where unfortunately this is a bad time to bring on confetti of color. It's not really funny today, but it's going. Can you just give John some? Have to. It's part of the bit. It's, yeah, murders and confetti. This is the kind of quality entertainment you get. Today's episode is brought to you by Undertak Boxers. You guys, obviously, in the midst of all the tragedy and what's going on in the world, you never know what's going to happen. And the most important thing is that you take care of yourself, your family, and you also provide breathability and support to the things that matter to you most. Undertak are the most durable, ultralight, fade-resistant, and shrink-resistant boxers that are battle-tested. They are special forces-tested as well. I wear them personally all over the country. They are absolutely amazing. They don't ride up. They come in the most masculine colors in like a hunter green, black, and gray. You don't get these fruity waistbands. John, you actually have a couple pairs of these as well. And aren't they damn excellent boxers?
Yeah, they are. The most important thing, in my opinion, is they're not made with polyester. A lot of guys' underwear nowadays is made with polyester, which, if you don't know, is like a synthesized fabric that is made with plastic. And if you're sweating, it literally like gets chemicals into your skin, which lowers your testosterone and affects your fertility. So
they're cotton.
Well, this is actually made with a better kind of cotton, actually, that I'm told is better because it's more absorbent. So it keeps you drier, but it's also just as breathable as like regular cotton. And the trees, I guess, use less water to grow. So it's like, you know, bio-friendly or whatever. But yeah.
But the best part about them is that it just keeps you dry. And the best part about this is that they don't pill and they don't have any problems and they don't shrink in the dryer. They actually just fit perfectly and give you the best support. And they're almost 30% less than the competition. You guys, I don't know what you're doing. Actually take care of yourself. You won't regret this. You won't change. Josiah Moody, he just got his first pairs of Undertak. Josiah, thumbs up if they are amazing. Oh, we're getting multiple thumbs up. He's growing thumbs because of the microplastics in the water. But he's got them all up. Guys, go to getundertak.com, GETUNDERTAC.com. That's getundertak.com to buy three, get one free with offer code OFFENSIVE. Once you try these out, you're going to throw out your old boxers, satisfaction guaranteed, or your money back. And if this isn't enough, Undertak donates a portion of its profits to veteran-run organizations that are actively fighting human trafficking. Getundertak.com, that's getundertak.com, offer code OFFENSIVE, buy three, get one free. So I am a little bit dumbfounded, John, and I do get a little bit weary, and I know that there's a verse, I think it might be even Galatians, maybe it is, but it says, you know, don't grow weary in well doing. Don't get tired when you're trying to do what's good. But I'm getting a little tired because it feels like we're just in this arc, in this cycle, and that nobody gives a damn. Nobody gives a crap on what's actually happening in our country. Nobody cares about our nation. They don't care about our children, right? I mean, you have 10 people, I believe, or 11 people who are killed in Buffalo, New York, and the conversation isn't about mental health. The conversation isn't about murder. The conversation isn't about problems. The conversation becomes about race. It becomes about the race of the shooter. And then the race of the shooter changes. We don't have a white shooter in Uvalde, and the conversation immediately becomes about guns, right? So it's race when it's white, it's guns when they're not white, and if they happen to be black or happen to actually be transgender or bisexual, then we don't even talk about it at all, period. We just push it under the rug. We have a moral rot, a sickness in our nation. Crime is up. Inflation is up. There are no goods. I went to Starbucks. I got my satanic coffee. I know. And the guy was like, we don't have oat milk, all these things on the side. He goes, we just have a distribution problem. We don't have the products we need to run our operation. Starbucks can't even run. Okay. So if anything's indicative of our nation, the businesses, our holy sacred thing that we worship, we give up our rights, our liberties so that these corporations corporations can make their money. We sacrifice our children on the altar of entertainment, but they're not even able to function properly in this country. Essentially, everything is dilapidating. Everything has fallen apart. And Mitch McConnell is able to get up in front of America and tell us the most important thing to all of us is the war in Ukraine. And that is the most important issue to all of Americans while we sit here and our kids are murdered, our country falls apart, our culture is dying, immigration is swelling. And I just have to say, I'm getting sick of this shit because it doesn't seem like anything we say or we do is changing anything.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the conversation surrounding this issue is like the most retarded conversation in the history of American politics. Like anybody, you know, there's this very perpetual smugness on the right of wanting to be like, oh, well, you know, more guns equals less crime. And there's this perpetual state of smugness on the left to be like, oh, the shooter was white. Like I got gas yesterday and I wanted to get a chocolate milk because chocolate milk is good. And the two cashiers at the counter were having a discussion and there was a black girl and a white girl. And the white girl said, oh, well, you probably shouldn't say that while you're at work. And so I was walking up to the counter just curious. I was like, oh, what was the opinion? And the white girl repeated it. And the opinion was from the black girl saying that, oh, well, the reason that the shooter was taken or was shot and not taken into custody was because he was Hispanic. And if he was white, they would have taken him into custody. And I was just like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And I left. But it's like they are willing on both sides to take the situation as it exists and then plug in whatever they can in terms of like how it fits their politics. So if the shooter was white, it would have been a racial thing. In terms of like white supremacy or whatever, but because he was not white, they want to say, oh, well, that's actually why he was shot. You know, we're not even talking about why he went and shot a place up. Well, why he was killed was because he was Hispanic. And if he were white, he would have been okay. But it's like, and this is a terrible, I don't think it's terrible. I stand by this 100%. I feel compelled to be honest. I don't, it's not that I don't care, but it's like, what the did you think was going to happen? I mean, you had lockdowns for like 2 years that were affecting disproportionately the social development of kids. And now we had two mass shootings in the last 2 weeks, both done by, I think, 18-year-olds. And it's like, what do you think is going to happen when you construct a society that breeds mental illness? Like, what did you think was going to happen? Or even people talking about, we care so much about kids in school. Really? Because you're advocating for them to be exposed to things that are going to lead to lifestyles of despair. You had them muzzled. Like, you only care about kids up into the point where it's like literally now they're dead. Like the most obvious manifestation of evil, killing children. Across the board, everyone's gonna agree that's evil. But everything leading up into that, that's fine. So it's only when it's like literally now they're dead that everybody has a big problem with it. And I just think that's totally disingenuous. And I'm not gonna like reward that with crocodile tears talking about the children. It's like, what else would you expect to happen in America? I mean, this is the most abominable culture in the history of the world, probably. Like, of course kids are going to be shot in a school. Like, why would that not happen in a country that is as immoral and just, like, godless as ours?
Right, and there's nothing to stand upon. So people say, well, you know, how could someone do this? And the point is how could they not? I watched some guy go, I can't believe something like this could happen. And it's like, well, what did you think was going to happen when just a week ago, the national conversation was based upon trying to kill our children. Like we are freaking out having protests. There was a leak in the Supreme Court about trying to kill kids. And remember, there was even passed through Congress. I mean, it died in the Senate, I believe, but there was a bill trying to, bring abortion all the way up until birth, basically into the canal, just a full born baby that you could kill. So you were just fighting, going, I want to be able to kill my kid 3 inches, 6 inches across a birth canal. And then you're like, well, there's a 6-inch difference between those children, the children in that school. How could somebody go and kill them? There are abortion doctors out there who are killing more kids than that in an office in one day or in a few hours, probably, than there is in that school or in all of a year that there are shootings of children. Not to mention, there are kids being killed every single week, it almost seems, in Chicago. I mean, I'm always hearing about a new 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old being shot in a drive-by or a stray bullet, etc. And nobody talks about that. Nobody's giving a point. We're also fighting to mutilate the genitals of our children. We're talking about chopping their penises off, about giving them mastectomies, giving them hormone blockers, overall the puberty blockers, giving them medication, changing the morphology, the biology, the chemical makeup of who they are. So you're like, we're willing to abuse kids, kill them in the womb, everything. And it's like, well, I'm just, you know, my trans kid who I abused and sexually took advantage of, groomed, showed a drag show to, introduced to pornography, etc., all this stuff. I can't believe somebody would kill them. Well, you don't value their lives. We don't value children in our society. There's no value. So why is it that people are shocked that somebody took a hold of the national narrative, children are not valuable, and just executed, literally, through execution, the ultimate plan, which is to destroy children. And they just took their life. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just they did it quicker, right? They want to slowly, so that your kid kills himself so that they're trans and they commit suicide. They're still trying to kill your kid. Yeah. This guy just jumped the gun.
Yeah, and you'll notice too, all of the language saying, oh, we can't politicize this, we can't politicize this, that's all coming from the right. The left is totally fine with politicizing it. The right is the one saying, no, we can't politicize it, which is like a totally cucked perspective, which I'll talk about in a second. But no, you're totally right there. And it's like the left's great, or I should say the right's biggest tragedy for this, because they don't care about kids. I mean, they'll say, oh, kids dying is bad. All of the inaction that you've displayed over the last 60 years is the reason this is happening, because you failed to conserve a country where you could order an AR-15 from the Sears catalog. There were gun clubs in high school and nobody even would think to commit an act of mass violence like this. And you failed to conserve the moral fabric of that country. So yeah, this is your fault. I mean, it's the left's fault for bringing us to this point, but it's your fault because you didn't do anything about it. So the biggest tragedy on the right is not that kids died. It's that like some 10-year-old little boy didn't pull out, you know, a Smith & Wesson and like be the good guy with the gun to shoot the shooter. And then the biggest tragedy for the left isn't that kids died, it's that they didn't grow up to become like transgender. Like that's really what this is about. And the left, I don't think, is able to really comprehend this issue because they don't understand the evil that has led to this. Like they literally look at it with the most obvious answer, like, oh, well, the shooter used a gun. If there were no guns, then there would be no shootings. Like a child's understanding of this issue. And then the right says, well, no, actually, we need to look at mental health and we need to maybe have armed guards at schools. And again, it's not really understanding the core of this issue, which is something has taken place in the last 60 years of this country, which has made it such that people want to go commit mass acts of violence. This is very new. And I don't agree with either, not to be like a, you know, an enlightened centrist on it and be like, oh, both sides are wrong. But it's like, I don't want armed guards at school.
Resident contrarian.
Yeah. Like, why would you want your kids having to go to school with their little lunchbox and their backpack and see like, you know, Marine station there with M4s?
Yeah, get frisked. They're like, sir, you know, we told you can't bring plastic knives in with your lunch pail. You know, you got to evacuate everyone out of the classroom. I mean, we don't want a TSA being put at the front of every school.
And so that's the problem, is that the conservatives say, well, how do you want to stop the shootings then? And it's like, the problem is the shooting. The problem is not that there's not someone there to shoot the shooter, right? Other countries don't have to deal with this. The left is right when they say that. This is like almost only an American problem. And I think there's something to be said about that. So the left doesn't understand it because literally everything that they've promoted in terms of the social degradation, stripping man from anything that he would be compelled to care for, whether that's family, identity, anything like that, we're all these hyper-autonomous individuals, we've lost God, like all of that is why this is happening. And conservatives are incapable of recognizing that because we don't know how to win. We don't even know what we stand for. Like if you ask a conservative to like talk about American values, they'll say like, I don't know, guns and beer and girls in American flag bikinis. Like they have no concept of what this country actually should be about. So that's why their solution isn't to find the root cause of what has led to this. It's just to have a slightly more nuanced understanding of how you would potentially stop this. Well, you're not going to take the guns. Yeah, that's impractical. So what do they say? Mental health and armed guards at schools. And it's like, that's arguably equally as unintelligent of a response to this problem.
Well, and that's what I think is interesting is like, so you look at this, right? We saw that video earlier. And if you can go to my screen here, Gay Tupac, you know, like some kids, I guess this is a minor, hence why the face is covered, I'm presuming, like performed at the drag show as well at this high school. And so it's like, when schools have become to a position to where they're not about education and they're about social, you know, social learning, social programming, et cetera, and you have this sort of sexual exploitation of children, right? I mean, we already know there's always been a problem with grooming, sexually assaulting children, et cetera. It's always been a problem. Even in history, I would assume that has changed, especially as the definition of a child maybe has changed or the age. Things have been very odd. But now it's like the schools are coordinating this sort of sexual revolution in our youth. And they've made school about this sort of in vogue about how you can actually fit in and how you can actually get attention. They give attention to the trans students specifically. If you're trans, it's probably like the coolest thing that you can be per se. You'll still get bullied, but you'll be a legend because that's the key thing. You're actually celebrated in media. You're like this underdog. It's this movie society that we have where everyone thinks they're a character in a movie. Like they don't get where in real life. So they might be trans and depressed and like want to kill themselves, but like they're supposed to be the cool character in the movie. So they still like project like, well, one day this is going to work out and it's actually going to be good. But it's like, well, where'd they get those ideas? It didn't come from their own brains. It came from programming. It came specifically from a variety of systems, education and media. But in our schools, they're doing this. So you go, how could somebody kill students in the schools? Well, obviously, I think in our country, students are a target because schools are not seen as a sacred place of learning of education. Schools are like daycares or like babysitting stations where the kids don't have any respect for the teachers. They don't really learn much. They're just taught how to function. In fact, the only reason why college is still is becoming more and more required, besides people go, oh, it's indoctrination. No, it's because people, an employer, literally graduating high school doesn't mean anything. They don't even know if you know how to write. Like, you might not even be able to write an email graduating high school. So graduating college proves at least you can write. That's all it shows. Like, you can put sentences together and maybe talk. You gave some speeches. And so they're requiring that to even know that you're a functioning person. So schools are not a place that even makes sense, that even has any sacredness. And so people go in there and you're going, why are people in America killing children? Well, it's systemic. I mean, we are breeding a generation of students who leave high school unable to talk, unable to write, unable to do anything pretty much functioning in society, but they did see a drag show. They might be trans and they somehow had access to abortion, condoms, and now they know they're bisexual or something. And that's really what an American is now. Like, you're 18 and the achievement you have is that you have sex with everyone. And it's like, can you do anything else? No, but I know where I want to stick my penis. And that is America. That is the American citizen to this day. And they grow up, like you said, and they live on fast food and they watch sports and they work a shitty job that's ever changing and they got to get more vaccines and boosters and they've got to keep complying. And this is the American person. So why do we have a sickness? Because our culture is nothing. It's vapid. It's air. There isn't anything. So it's like when there's a void, anything can fill that void. And evil fills the spaces where good does not occupy. And so since there's nothing righteous, there's nothing holy, there's nothing national, there's nothing good to oppose it, then what else would come in its place? Pure, unadulterated evil. And that's who's taking it up. And you're like, well, how did this happen? Because you made it happen.
Now, you're so right about that, too. And, you know, oftentimes when I go on shows that I guess have a differently curated audience than my own, I'll have people in the comments who are more sympathetic to libertarian ideas. And they'll say, Doyle thinks he needs daddy government to tell him how to live his life. And it's like, you stupid idiot. It's just because the average American is, like you said, a fat masturbating guy who probably is on at least 2 prescription medications. That was not what John Adams and Thomas Jefferson had in mind when they were authoring the founding documents of this country. They expressly said that the Constitution could only function for a moral and religious people. It was wholly inadequate, not give or take, for another type of person, wholly inadequate. And it's like, yeah, the average American man is not capable of preserving freedom, nor can he be trusted with it. That is just a fact. And if you disagree, look outside. Do you have freedom? I mean, literally, that type of freedom could only be possible if you had the demographics and frankly voting laws of, like, 1787 America. Anything else is just not going to work. And that's why we're looking outside and everything is just not working. And it's like, it wasn't supposed to. I mean, this was predicted.
Well, yeah, and it can't. And you see this even with China, right? With the Uyghurs and what's going on there. And I think Xinjiang, is that how you pronounce it? Xinjiang province, I think it is? Xinjiang? Okay, yeah. I don't know the Chinese pronunciation. But right, like even there, they have a problem with the social minorities and with ethnic minorities and also with religious minorities. And by the way, I want to say it doesn't work, meaning even China has such problems with believing, you know, the religious Muslim minorities that, I don't know if you know this, but people are being put into prison for 10 years for growing a beard out of religious zealotry. Do you know about this?
No.
I've looked at all the cases. So meaning, like, China's going, we can't coexist in an Islamic society. And this province also, you go, well, why are they just attacking them? I'm not defending the Chinese communist attack on the Uyghurs. It's actually horrible what's going on. But I will say that one of the reasons why they cracked down was because of terrorist attacks from the Islamic side in the province and their separatist movements to try to break off from China. It's on the very western northern side of China. They wanted to break off. These cultures weren't able to mix. They can't mix. So I'm not defending China trying to destroy, you know, these people's lives and put them in prison 10, 15, 30 years for reading a couple pages of the Quran. My point is that, look, China has a vision of what it wants for itself. And it has this idea, a one China policy. The other province has its own culture and idea of what it wants. Clearly, they don't work. If the other people work, then it creates terrorism and problems and separation from China, and it goes against their national goals. And if China's national goals get put on them, then it's imprisonment, it's taking away their culture, their value, their religion, what they want. Some things do not mix, and it's not good. So that situation sucks because there's not really a good way out of it. Whenever China lets off, there's terrorist attacks and explosions and bombs and retribution, and then when they clamp back down, they end up persecuting the people. Point in case, the world is a messy place. So we don't want to intentionally make it more messy. We don't want to put in more ingredients. If you have something with too much salt, you don't start adding oregano and paprika and things. If something's already a little overflavored, if something's a little bit chaotic, you don't add more fire to the flames. And America is one of those countries where we've had some very serious problems that have been arising for quite a few decades. And instead of being like, aha, these are some issues, we've just said, let's continue to escalate this. Let's bring in millions of more people every year, illegally and legally, that share no common core value or part of our country. Let's continue to move in a direction to where not only do we take away liberties and rights, let's give more power to unelected bureaucrats and bodies like the CDC or right now with the WHO and also with the pandemic treaty that's going on and the discussions. Let's go to the World Economic Forum. You give Klaus Schwab the intellectual capacity to place his own leaders, Crenshaw and individuals into our government. Let's just add and let's create chaos. Then everyone goes, why can't we get control of things? Well, at a certain point, when you neglect a problem and you allow evil people to intentionally make it worse, there's nothing really to gain control of. And America is like a large 18-wheeler going downhill without brakes. It's like, it can stop, but the only thing that's going to stop it is either, even if it goes into one of those truck brake things, it's like the only thing that's going to stop it is sheer nature, sheer force. At a certain point when momentum begins to go, the only thing that can prevent momentum and the speed from gaining any more traction is an equal or opposite force. And it's like, as of right now, everything's going to escalate. It's not going to be okay. And it's not going to get better to where we have this article here from 538. It's like, they're even trying to explain why it's evil that we are upset at groomers. Like why the right, right? It's like why so many conservatives are talking about grooming all of a sudden. Literally says grooming has become the most recent scare tactic of choice for the right. Fox News host Laura Ingraham included a segment on her show last month where she claimed public schools have become grooming centers where sexual brainwashing takes place. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene recently tweeted that the Democrats are a party of grooming and transitioning children. Last week, one American News host, Chanel Rion, even called President Joe Biden the groomer in chief. They're even getting on POSO. What kind of people would oppose grooming laws? Where they're saying like, you know what? Like they're like, dude, the right has these new scare tactics, like trying to stop mass illegal immigration and, you know, get control of the economy and prevent people from raping your kids. Don't fall for these scare tactics. And it's like, no, this is just common sense. And there's none of it around in society today. And I don't know what to do, but until you realize that we're not lying and we're trying to wake you up and say, somebody needs to realize we've gone to hell already, expect more of your kids to be killed. I mean that. Like, more of your kids are going to be killed. More people are going to be shot. Your boogeyman racist people are going to accelerate. You're going to create more of your racist, angry young men who are out there committing problems. And maybe that's what I wonder. Maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want a full destabilization. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's written in the Bible that the children will pay for the sins of their father. And American men are poops. And, you know, we'll talk about the French. Oh, they surrendered in World War II. Well, French guys are... But it's like, you look at what goes on in French in terms of their right-wing movements and all of Europe, like European men have an actual identity. Like they know what they believe. And just because they would maybe like look at us weird because so much of our right wing is just based upon like these sort of, oh, lots of machine guns, bang, bang, things exploding. And it's like, dude, you're such an idiot. Like I'll say things and I will have adult men get upset with me over an idea. Do you understand how new that is? When do men throughout history get emotional about a bad idea? Like they might get angry over debate and, you know, challenge each other to a duel, but that was typically downstream of like, you know, calling into question someone's honor. I will have guys actually get emotional with me and like angry, like that was a bad idea. Or John, you can't say that. That's not nice. When is being like a man about being nice? Obviously, you know, kindness is a virtue, but this idea that you have to curate your speech to accommodate the feelings of like women and effeminate men, that's what political correctness is. And people who claim to be anti-PC because they can't tell jokes about like transgender people anymore, they betray themselves by not tracing it to its logical endpoint, which is like China doesn't have to be politically correct. Russia doesn't have to be politically correct. And it's because they don't need to pander to, you know, the lowest common denominator of the voting demographic. So anytime you're being politically correct, walking on eggshells, it's because you're trying to like circumvent the percentage of the population who is the most likely to become emotional about like ideas and stuff. It's like, no, men just do what needs to be done. Like that is what we are defined by. And so if like our ideas about mass deportations or seizing assets, those are scary and mean to you. Like, yeah, you're the reason we're here. So never throw your far right extremists under the bus because we're the only chance you have, frankly.
Well, yeah, and I do want to talk about that. I mean, we can't change a lot, but I do want to let you know in the society that we live in, it is important that you take control of not only the things that you can control, but you realize that the system, while it works against you, can actually work for you, which for many of us, our credit scores are holding us back and are keeping us in a position to where even if you want to rent a place, I always tell people this, they go, why does my credit score matter? I'll tell you this, you literally can't live without one. This is what it is. And the score is used, it's like a social credit score. And that's literally what it's called. And it's used to find out your rates and what you get and what you qualify. And you know, even if you don't have to put a security deposit down or how what rate you get on your car or your student loans or anything. And so this literally affects every part of your life. And so if you don't care about it, that's really weird. If you go to scoremaster.com/offense, that's scoremaster.com/offense, you can find out today how to raise up to 61 points on your score in just 3 weeks. What that can do for you is that can save you hundreds to thousands of dollars on a car loan that you might be getting and finding a new car. Because many of you know, used cars are ridiculously priced. So it might even be more economical to buy a car right now, a new car this time, than a used car. You also might know that if you're trying to buy a house, rates are very high. It's important to qualify. And you can save tens of thousands of dollars over your life of your home loan. And most importantly, guys, you can refinance like I was able to do by getting my score up. You can pay down, get loans, et cetera, business. It all matters. Go to scoremaster.com/offense right now and find out how you can actually raise your credit score and find out all you can also track and watch your credit so that you don't get, anything stolen or your identity stolen or anything charged on your account that you don't know. Look for dings, look for whatever's going on. Go to scoremaster.com/offense and find out how you can add many points to your score today. Quickly add it in just a few weeks. It's amazing. I encourage you to check it out. scoremaster.com/offense. Yeah. And John, and I do say this though, in a real matter of a fact is like, you know, people have asked me, it's like there's a huge difference between being unhinged and being eccentric. And I would put both of us in that category. I'd say you're an eccentric person, not unhinged, right? Like sometimes you'll say things and people, like you said, are like, oh, how can John say that? Well, I would say he's probably betraying the trust of the people around him if he's not completely honest. Like that's one thing you can know is that, yeah, what John's saying might be unconventional. It might be said in a way that you wouldn't expect, right? That's eccentricism. It's uniqueness. It's this viability to know that person is uniquely themselves. But there's one thing you can say about John is that he's not going to sugarcoat the truth. He's not going to hold back, right? You're not going to hold back. And what you're saying genuinely is like, and I want to clarify, is this like right-wing extremism. It's ironic that they're demonizing this because they say right-wing extremism equals like mass shootings and violence. When in reality, the results of what we're seeing of the actual extremism in our country, the mass shootings, the violence, is a result of a lack of right-wing extremism.
Yeah.
It's a left-wing extremist world that we're living in, and this is the chaos. This is the result. They're the ones to blame, and there's no counterbalance because no one wants to be called a Nazi.
Yeah, no, I mean, leftism as a philosophy is defined by chaos and revolution and subjectivity, and like, yeah, of course you're going to have that. Right-wing extremism is just like what is natural and like what is good and hierarchy. So when we say right-wing extremism, which by the way, they use their media to make you think that's a scary term. Oh, extremism means violence. That's not what it means. Extremism literally means on the extreme. So if you look at like the bell curve of American political thought, I exist on the extreme because the normal is going to be here. I am on the extreme of that because I am probably in the top 0.1% in terms of being on the right because you've got what, 360 million people in this country. Yeah, I'm probably one of the more far right ones. That's not inherently bad. In fact, why would you not want to be on the extreme in such a backwards country? Why would you want to exist within the normal of such an abnormal country? If you do that, you are room illiterate. So yeah, if you're not an extremist, you're just like stupid. I mean, why would you not be? I don't see the argument against that. And a lot of times people want to have this like, you know, we just said this, the enlightened centrist position of I'm smarter than both sides. And it's like, no, that's not how it works, you know? One side is tracing one idea to its logical end. The other side is doing the same. If you exist in the center, you haven't thought things through. And oftentimes people exercise this hubris against yourself or against myself. And you know, I'll say something that's eccentric and they'll say, oh, that sounds crazy. And they paint me to be this like, you know, irrational bad guy who's thinking crazy things. And they don't extend to me the good faith that perhaps I've read a bit more than you because I don't know, I do this for a living. Like there's a reason I'm in the chair, you're behind the desk. Like we do this for a living. We do our research, we read things. And our job is to condense ideas and disseminate them to the masses based on what we believe is in accordance with the truth and what is good. So if I say something and people are like, that's crazy, that's evil. It's like, throw me a bone here. Maybe let me explain it. Don't just assume I'm like this crazy bad guy because I'm not. I think I'm pretty not crazy. And if I am crazy in a world that's also crazy, I think that's a good thing. right? Would that not be good?
And
that,
but that's also too why I think it's so interesting to me. Like, this is where I begin to get frustrated, and many of you guys who are watching or if you're listening, remember, this is an audio only podcast. Make sure that you download it on Spotify, on iTunes, on Google Play, even Audible, wherever you can find it, and leave a 5-star review. We'll read a couple at the end, but just keep track with us. You know, sometimes you might want to listen to the show while you're on the go, and we may be expanding, so you'll stay tuned. You know, I look at so much of the discourse that is going on between people, and sometimes I just want to blow my brains out, and because I don't understand what the purpose is. Like, I look at things, and I'll look at what people get mad at me over. Like I walk around, and people are like, "Oh, is he okay?" And I get a lot of people been messaging me, and people are like, "You need to go to therapy and stuff," that don't even know me, and I'm like, "What do you mean? Am I okay?" You are nuts. Do you not know what's going on here? Okay. Not only did I just, you know, obviously out of my control, have to change my entire career path because of people and things that I don't have any control over. And so, yes, I'm fucking pissed, you know, obviously, because I built something and I don't have it anymore. And so it's like, on that note, that's fine, but that's petty. I don't care about that stuff. Who really cares? I sit here then and I go, okay, so I want to build something new in the world. So I'm a man. And if you're watching this, you're like me. I'm going, okay, I lost something. We've all lost something. We've lost our country. And I sit here and I go, so what can I build? So I look around me and I open up my little eyes and I open up my brain and I try to think. I come up with some ideas. What am I going to do next? Where am I going to go next? How am I going to do something better? And I look at what's before me, the fields of the harvest. And I go, this is a bunch of shit. I have to evaluate myself fully, because I'm going, we're in a world where we have a two-party system, a country. We're the most powerful country that has ever existed in the history of the world in terms of sheer military strength, economic output, and of course, homogeny and landmass. It's insane what we're actually capable of. We are a nation that was built with some of the most incredible and revolutionary foundational principles. We have completely disregarded them. We've abandoned our entire, you know, genealogical roots. We have totally disregarded the most intelligent people who overthrew an entire empire and had a vision for this country because they were lame and they were racist. And so we don't want to listen to them anymore because we invented Fortnite, and that makes us smarter than everyone else before us. So that's where we are. And I look at this and I'm going, and I look out there and it's like, you know, I get in trouble from the right wing, or people get mad at me and people don't want to get around me or things, because I said a truth, you know, I spoke my opinion. That opinion made somebody mad, and that opinion upset someone. Fuck you and fuck your feelings and your sensitivities. How about that? Because I'm looking and I'm like, we've got to do something here, because there's nobody's really out there even speaking the truth. And if you can't even speak the truth, then no wonder why nobody's doing anything. If you're too afraid to say the words, then why would you expect the actions of anyone to follow? And everyone's too pussified and just pent up and like, well, we just want to make money and we don't really want to say anything because we don't want to upset people. Well, you know what? I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah. No, I used to look at men like that and just sort of think, okay, well, everyone, you know, to each to their own. But it's really evolved as things have escalated into like something approximating contempt for those men that you're describing. Like, it is weakness. And obviously, every time I talk about masculinity or strength, you know, because I'm not like a Viking, right? I'm only 22. But I still am very strong in my conviction, as I know you are. And it's like, that is all that matters. You know, conviction is what matters above all else. You look at the ages of the founding fathers. I mean, you know, they weren't taking, testosterone. They were very like average physique gentlemen, but they had strength and conviction and principle. And that's why, as you said, they overthrew the most powerful military force in the history of the world, the greatest empire in the history of the world. And we founded the country that could still be the greatest in the history of the world, but we fumbled it. Well, not we. Prior generations fumbled what I call the greatest civilizational lead in world history, because they wanted to do that. They wanted to make their money. They wanted to be decadent and be selfish. We are so selfish. And people say that I have a big ego because I have this sort of like, you know, Trump-like irrational self-confidence where I say things about myself that are true, but I don't compare myself to other people. Like, I would never say like, I'm the smartest and you're the dumbest.
Many such cases, John.
I just say I'm a genius, which is a fact, but I don't say other people can't be geniuses too. You know, it's not like a zero-sum game. I think everyone can be smart, but it's like now, and that's why they get mad about opinions too. Well, who are you to say that? Who are you? Your opinion offends me. Like, who cares what you think? No one cares what you think. Like, we are all in this together to accomplish something. You're not an individual. You are an American. You are a father, a brother, a mentor, whatever. Like, you can't have this sort of like, well, this is what I want to do with my life. And this is my opinion. Here's my take on something. We all know 80% of what needs to be done. At a certain point, you're going to have to just bite the bullet and have the will to do it. And we don't have that because everyone's afraid to die. Not calling for anything. I'm just simply saying you would be more comfortable with dedicating your life to the pursuit of what is good and to the cause instead of just like this sort of checklist of like, oh, I want to go to the Grand Canyon and I want to watch these shows on Netflix and I want to collect all the Pop Funko vinyls, if you knew that there was something greater waiting for you in the afterlife, which there is for those of us who are not of this earth. But those of us who are of this earth, of course, are going to be of no use to us. So we're not trying to wake up the masses. The masses are sheep. We are trying to get the 5% of the male population who is capable of actually cultivating this sort of fortitude and discipline to wake up, to shed the conditioning, and to actually join us on the side of beautiful, wonderful right-wing extremism. Because you have two options. If you're going to not be an NPC, you can either be a left-wing extremist, which are typically NPCs, or a right-wing extremist. If you're a right-wing extremist, symptoms might be you're going to the gym, you're going to mass, you're getting married, you're having lots of children. Oh, that's fascism. Left-wing extremism is basically like dying alone of a drug overdose with lots of weird cartoon, you know, those little stencil tattoos people get of like little obscure drawings. And you've probably had several weird surgeries done to yourself, paid for by taxpayer money. And it's just a lifestyle of despair. And that's really what it is. It is living in accordance with what is natural and good and trying to flourish as best you can, or giving into despair and nihilism and being totally selfish and dying. And it's just like, the choice is pretty clear. Yeah. That, by the way, is also not even like a caricature. You know, someone clipped me saying something similar back on You Were Here, great show, and they were like,
never heard of it.
Yeah. And they were like, that's such a straw man. It's really not. Like, that is true. You know, every right-wing extremist I know is more or less that, and every left-wing extremist I know is like more or less that. It's really not a straw man. That really is kind of the fork in the road, I think.
Well, you know, and this is the key thing too, is like, if we can't even agree on the fact that grooming children and f- them is wrong, like, that's literally where we're at in our conversation. Think about the things we're discussing right now as a country. We are having disagreements about killing babies, having sex with kids, and why people keep shooting them in schools. Like, that's the national discourse.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've created a culture where we're saying fat is healthy, good is bad, bad is good, Christians are terrorists, terrorists are the real people of faith. It's okay to intimidate purveyors of justice, literal justices, right? You know, we have a president who's a hologram. We have Kamala Harris, who way to the top too. I don't know how. I mean, I don't understand.
Insane.
How?
She is so...
She gives so much hope to women.
Like, she's so incompetent at public speaking. Like, at least Hillary Clinton, I mean, you know, she's a political operative, but she can still present herself well. She's pretty quick on her feet. She's articulate. She's
well
spoken. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's actually a perfect politician.
But Kamala Harris is like, she must give like insane head or something. Like, I don't know.
They call her Kamala.
I don't know what it is, but she's not even that hot. Like,
no,
like,
she's not. I don't look. It's not that she's look, because I don't like to tear down women's appearances.
You know what's funny about this too? Is that the left would see this and be like, yeah, maybe it's because she didn't sleep her way to the top and maybe she's actually just really smart. No, she slept her way to the top. Just this sort of insistence, like any woman like her.
No, yeah, you know, well, you look at it and you go, I could pick anybody in a mall probably. And malls are full of a lot of young people, if you know what I'm saying today. They're very, that's a whole other conversation. I don't know what happened to the American Mall.
It's a theme park.
Exactly. I could pick anybody there and they probably could speak better. Like, did you see the new press secretary even too? What's her name?
Immigrant.
Jean, she's gay, right?
She
or something?
Is tired.
Yeah. Literally, she's like, I watched Ducey asked her a question and goes, so, you know, why does this administration believe, this is a very clear question, why does this administration believe that taxing corporations is going to offset inflation? Joe Biden said that we need to tax corporations to get control of inflation. How does that work? Well, you see, Peter, we have come as always, this place has always come together and we have always looked out for people and we see inflation as being the problem. And everybody knows that we all need to pay our fair share and corporations also need to do that to bring us together to get control. And he just goes, so how does the statement taxing corporations control inflation? She goes, I stated it. And you go, that's who's like, that's the spokesperson for the highest executive branch of our government. Point in case, that's the communication level. When you can't even answer a question off of something that you said, if you can't even explain what you said, and you don't even know what you're saying, which means you're not in control of your own life, which means that nobody that we know is in control of the executive branch, which makes you wonder who's in control of anything, which means that if you're no one's in control, then we're out of control. And that's the problem. There is no control in this country. This is why I really sympathize. I don't like some of the far right, you know, commentators or streamers or stuff like approach on this. Is that like, it's like, they're like, really like, will come to men and it's like, yeah, you know, people and you look at porn, you're degenerate and this and that. It's like, no, people are growing up in a very degenerate society and I get the anger towards it, but you've got to realize like a lot of people are broken and they're very much influenced by the brokenness. It's like a dog, like a stray dog or cat that you see that's been chained up their whole life. You're not like, you don't beat it for not sitting or shaking your hand. It's like, there's a long process to bringing that stray dog or cat to healing than just ridiculing them for being disobedient, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like a lot of the young men in this country and women are like the stray dogs and cats. And it's like, yes, okay, I get it, guys. We want people to live a holy life and stuff. But myself included in this, growing up in a very demonic city, in a very demonic place, around very chaotic people, and in a very crazy world, I'm barely discovering truth, and I'm 29 years old. I'm barely starting to see the way the world works because it's like the burning of the books. I wanted to read a book. I wish someone would have read me the book that told me the truth, yet it was never given to me because when I went to the library, it wasn't on the shelves type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like everything's been withheld. So we're searching and we're finding. And my goal is not to destroy and condemn and ridicule people who are further back in their journey or to feel like I'm ashamed of myself because I'm not further ahead like them. It's like, I want people to realize that we are all broken and we need to find healing. We need to come together because this country is hell-bent on keeping you addicted, destroyed, depressed. And eventually, if you won't kill yourself, hopefully you kill someone else so that they can use it to their advantage. And then hopefully it's like one of those killings that they want to happen, like a racist killing or a killing of children, so they can do their bidding. They don't give a fuck about you or your kids or anything. All they are hell-bent on is power and control and siphoning money from this giant slot machine of a country as they crash and burn us and create a one-world government. I mean, that's exactly their goal. They don't give a damn about the country because they don't want there to be countries. They want a global movement. They don't care about your money because they don't want it. They don't care about how much you pay for fuel because they don't want you using it. Don't you get it? They don't care about you. They abuse you, and so what are we gonna have to do? Equal or opposite force. The momentum is negative towards us. It's going to have to crash.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like, actually, I'm not going to say that. What did you say? You had something I wanted to riff off that I thought was good. I mean, so much of what you just said was good, so it's hard to pick, but.
Maybe about the idea of the stray dogs and cats and the brokenness.
Yes, exactly.
Because I saw you going like this.
When I did my anti-pornography dissertation, that was something I tried to emphasize, which is like, you can't come at this in a way that isn't sympathetic, because it's one thing if you're an alcoholic or you're addicted to some other drug, you don't have a mechanism in your brain that compels you to seek out those drugs. In fact, the only reason why those drugs, like cocaine and methamphetamine in particular, are so effective in terms of stimulating your brain are because they mimic the reward circuitry that exists for sexual pleasure. So like young guys on the internet, you know, what do you want the reasonable consumer who's 11 years old to like see a pop-up and not click on it or hear from his friends that this material exists and not seek it out? Of course he's going to seek it out. And so I agree with you. It's a totally sympathetic approach. Like these people are victims. Now, that being said, of course, there is something, you know, you can't be a victim forever. You have to, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, so to speak. But I think that the sympathetic approach is totally necessary. Conversely, the approach towards those who are knowingly doing this and acting in bad faith because they want bad things to happen, those are the people who I absolutely want to destroy. I want God to sort them out. And I think that's actually called for several times quite explicitly in the Bible. And so, yeah, I'm very comfortable with that.
Yeah, I do want to talk about this as we do take control of this, is that, you know, we've been brainwashed into believing that the only way that our money is able to be safe for retirement is to risk it in the stock market, which is absolutely crazy. And that is not true. You can reach your financial goals and your dreams in this country without having to rely on the government and what they can do to change those risk factors. You don't have to take unnecessary risk. You can take control of yourself today at bankonyourself.com/offensive. So do you really control your retirement money? That's a good question. If you got a 401k or an IRA or similar retirement plan, the government controls it absolutely. And you've seen that that with the economy, and they don't control it very well. They screw over the middle class, as always, and for most of you guys, that's you. They decide how much you can borrow and when you can must pay it back, and you'll owe taxes and penalties for taking money out too soon or waiting too long. Even though it's your money, and thanks to our skyrocketing national debt, which is ever increasing, who knows how much you'll have to pay in taxes during a retirement that could last 30 years. Bank on yourself is a better way to grow and protect your money long term. The retirement plan alternative has never had a losing year in over 160 years. It's guaranteed predictable growth. That's what I love so much on retirement income, with no luck, skill, or guesswork required. In fact, Bank on Yourself has a 160 year plus track record of positive growth. Like I mentioned earlier, it's so amazing. I absolutely love it. It's a tax-free retirement income. You'll know what your tax rate will be in retirement, zero under current tax law, which protects you from coming tax tsunami. If you were to ask yourself, you know, if taxes are going to go up or down the next 30 years, I think we'd all just say up. So you got to make sure that you have a way to hedge against that. Liquidity, you can also get access to your money for any purpose with no questions asked, which is so important if you go into tough times, even to use it for purchases or opportunities without interrupting the growth of those dollars. This is the strategy famous businesses like McDonald's and Walt Disney used when no banker would lend them a dime, and almost anyone can do it. You can get the peace of mind, perhaps the best of all, that you'll know the minimum guaranteed value of your plan on the day you plan to tap into it, and at every point along the way. You can get a free report with all the details of how adding Bank on Yourself to your financial plan can help you take control of your money. Just go to bankonyourself.com/offensive. Check it out today. bankonyourself.com/offensive. bankonyourself.com/offensive. So it is, like you said, it is the movement. And I've been really finding in my life personally, like that's why, like I was saying, like when I get upset too, and I see creators also out there too, and they're just like talking about people and their lives and their sexualities and their drama and their bullshit. It's like, what are we, Keemstar? What the hell is going on? The right wing has become like theatrics as well, where it's just like, look, I do love a little theater. It is fun. It is fun to make fun of Dan Crenshaw for being an absolute loser and Rhino and seeing the bullshit that he tries to do towards other people. It is fun to go out there and to see a little bit of what's happening. But we have a real problem, right? We even had, they tried to prevent a duly elected leader like Marjorie Taylor Greene from being able to run for re-election because she, you know, spoke out and gave her mind and opposed the cabal. You know, remember with Gosar and Greene and others who were censured, taking away their committee rights, their power in Congress. You see, you know, even Cawthorn, who was, you know, competed against in his own party because he dared speak out against, you know, the orgies, the coke-filled orgies, which Steven Tyler apparently, finding out today, spent $6 million over his life on cocaine. Call that amateur hour for me.
Yeah, that's based.
Yeah, but I was like laughing. I was like, $6 million? That, I mean, I could see that over the like the course of your whole life, like $6 million, I guess. But he's back in rehab, so I hope he does well there. And I hope when he gets out that he's still a legend. But ultimately speaking, I meant like, you know, Cawthorn shed light on these things. I don't hate on people who aren't making a change or who are finding it hard, because obviously when you do try to make the change, you are punished. You are rarely rewarded in this world. Where you are rewarded is spiritually. It's internally. It's with peace. It's with confidence, to where you can live and you can be knowing that you're right. Even if you are hunted, even if you are ridiculed, even if you are disparaged because of it, at least in the midst of this, you know you're trying. And I tell people, just at least be trying. At least be developing. At least take the steps that you need to grow, to take the next place. If you've got an addiction, a problem, then just try to at least reduce it. Try to make steps to not give into it as often. If you have confidence issues and personality issues that are keeping you from being bold, start working on taking those steps. Initiate that conversation. If you want to get married, but you're having a hard time relationally because you grew up on video games and you're weird, start reading a book about how to grow and develop. Maybe try making some friends. Try talking to a woman in real life off of the internet, not on the internet, in a chat room. Like, take those little steps and those baby steps to start becoming better. Because if you don't, you're going to get worse. If you don't actively fight the weaknesses in your life, in your heart, the spiritual sickness in this country, you're going to be clobbered like a tsunami. If you don't go to high ground now, it is going to accelerate. It is going to get worse. And if you're not prepared for it, you're going to end up miserable, either dead, or you're going to end up doing something stupid, which I don't want to explain, but you might, you know, you'll end up being pushed into doing something. They're going to use you as an example of why right wing is evil.
Yeah, you're just not going to make it. And it's not going to fall into your lap. Like, unfortunately, we exist in a society where you actually have to read books about how to talk to people, how to talk to women in particular. I mean, these are things that everybody's been doing since the beginning of time, but we exist in such an antisocial society. Now you have guys who, the concept of like approaching a woman and just talking to her randomly at a coffee shop or whatever is like foreign to them. They'll even laugh about it. Like, what do you mean? That's such like a taboo thing. Like, they would have no idea about how to do something like that. Like, I was out with a group of guys recently. And do I want to tell this story? And that might not be nice. Basically, it's just like, yeah, we exist and guys just don't know how to talk to girls. And they think a lot of these trad types as well. Like, oh, I'm just going to get a wife when I'm older. And it's like, well, it's not going to fall into your lap. You know, the amount of women who exist in 3 years who haven't produced some form of pornography of themselves is probably going to be close to zero. Like, the society is becoming more corrupt. The future generations are more corrupt. Your window is closing. So you may as well act now. And, you know, you talk too about this sort of lack of treasure at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. That's true. Like, there is no end reward. There is no, we get to pick the apple from the tree that we planted. We're not going to get to see the results of that. And that gets back into the selfish thing, the selfishness aspect of it too. Like, we have to be comfortable with knowing we're not going to see the fruits from the trees that we're planting now. And people just don't have that attitude. They're like, well, what's in it for me if I'm not going to see? That's why they fantasize so much about this idea of like mass revolution. We're going to fight the government off and we're going to have a revolution just like the founding fathers. No, you're not. You're just not. Sorry. Like, that's, I know it's a sexy idea, but it's not practical. It's just not going to happen. All the things that could be done in terms of political solutions, these are the same people who will then throw under the bus people like Gosar, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, because, oh, well, they're a little bit too extreme for me. Mm-hmm. Well, they're a little bit too extreme for the establishment too, which is why they're targeted. So we're either going to hang together or we will hang separately. So yeah, if you throw anybody under the bus who you think is too extreme for you, you are the problem and we're going to remember you. But another thing I will say on the autism thing, the antisocial thing, me having autism, I think, was a joke that was debuted on this show.
There was a lot of jokes debuted on this show, and that the joke was that this show is the joke. But well, I also don't know why people took it so seriously and why it became a boasting thing. Like, why is everyone... I still say that. I don't understand. People tell me, hey, I know John. I follow John. I have autism. People introduce themselves to me. I go, I don't think you should tell people that when you first meet them. That's not good.
So
I don't think
you should I've said since then that you have to be a little bit autistic to be successful in right-wing politics. There's actually some truth to that other than the obvious joke, which is exactly like you said, because we exist in a world where everything is material. There's no concept of the immaterial, of the spirituality, of good and evil. Everything is the material. I want money. I want pleasure, whatever. And everything is also now medicalized. Like, there is no vice. There's only mental illness. There's only, oh, well, you just need to take this pill. And because of that, it doesn't make sense for somebody to want to fight against what is evil, because there's no reward in it for them. The system only rewards people who are not challenging it, or who more sinisterly are pretending as though they're challenging it, but are actually not. These would be your Dan Crenshaw types, your establishment GOP media figures who are saying the same talking points that have gotten us nowhere. They exist not to represent you or to advocate for you, but to contain you. And those people are handsomely rewarded. There's a reason that Nancy Pelosi is worth $200 million. There's a reason that Mitch McConnell is worth $100 million. And so these types of people who can't conceptualize simply doing something because it is the right thing to do, you think about autism, what are the characteristics? The fixation, this inexplicable fixation on something. That fixation could only be understood not as simply principle, as simply doing the right thing, even though there's no reward in it for us because it is the right thing to do, but through the medical lens that everything is viewed through, it's autism. And so that's why I say, to be successful, you have to have that fixation, which in this society, which is so backwards, could only be understood as something deviant, as something wrong with you mentally, which would most, I guess, best be explained by autism. So yeah, be proud, my little puzzle pieces. We're all going to make it.
It's true. And I was going to get John a watch that was a puzzle piece, but he's got a better one. So maybe I'll still get it for him. I do want to say, John, if people can find you and follow you, where can they follow you? And where can they find your many, many pieces of content that are constantly coming out, so much that they're even hard to discover?
Yeah, no, I'm such a threat to the establishment that it hides. Even if you go to my YouTube channel, it won't even post all the content that I've been regularly and frequently uploading. Yeah. But yeah, that would be youtube.com/John Doyle, Instagram, johndoyle.jpg, heckoffcommie.com.
Yeah, he's really throwing away a lot. He really, it's the censors. They really just take it away from him. I will tell you this too. Don't forget to follow him. Follow us everywhere as well. And don't forget that this is an audio only podcast, so you can leave a 5-star review. You might get it read on the show, John. We have a couple today. We have one
today
from TJ from NJ, that's stuck in PA. Says, one of my favorite podcasts. Absolutely love SO podcast. It's some of the best content on the internet. Elijah is a very smart and hilarious guy. This is a joke that always informs me while making me laugh at the same time. A must watch listen. A great way to learn about the clown world that we're living in. And also from convincing my friends. So I love this one. It's from Hopper2001. Says, this is great. I'm trying so hard to convince young people that you can have racial humor without being a racist. Try it, people. It's harder than you think. Love y'all. And, you know, or you can be a racist without it being bad. I'm just kidding. All right. Never mind. That was a joke. It was a joke. I'm joking. Please. Anyway, if you want to support the show, don't forget to sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah to join the fight against censorship. And as always, be prepared for what's coming next. We have a lot of stuff coming your way in the coming months as we get the clearance for it. And don't forget to join the Telegram, t.me/slightlyoffensive, to get all types of memes and things that are in store. And perhaps, you may also see a couple memes later on about John Doyle. Anyway, for slight, what am I on right now?
What are these memes about me?
Go to t.me/slightlyoffensive and go look at John Doyle memes. There's lots of John Doyle memes in there.
Okay.
We may just like put a little slideshow, a few of them at the end of this, perhaps. And you may just get added in post.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, for Slightly Offensive here on Blaze TV, the best worst show, I'm Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 host. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.